appeal. So you will not be issued a permit. You will get a letter in the mail from the board saying the same thing. I don't know if the letter says that he can appeal this to the Superior Court.
I think it does.
But you can appeal our decision to the State Superior Court, which is the next level up. But for now, you're not going to get a temporary permit from Waterbury.
Okay, so I can't get one at all, or you said I would go
no.
to the... Not at this time.
Not at this time.
How long would I have to wait before I can reapply? Yeah. I have to ask them.
I don't know when you applied. You can submit an application once every 12 months.
Correct.
So I don't know.
So 12 months from the first time I applied?
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, we can go for a...
We can?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that?
24083.
Sure, you had a bus to catch?
Oh, no, I already missed it.
You missed it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Nah, I just hope I don't get in trouble. The bus comes out there, so I don't hope I get in trouble waiting out here for the bus. I gotta catch that express bus back to the paper.
When's the next bus?
The next one is at 3 something.
All right, case number 7. Is case number 7 ready, Attorney Sherman?
Yes, thank you.
22-507. This is case number 7, 22-507. Would counsel please identify for the record?
Sure. Steve Stash from Town Council for the issuing authority.
Okay. Can you spell your last name, sir?
S-T-A, F is in Frank, S-T-R-O, M is in Mary.
Okay.
And Ralph Sherman representing the appellant.
Thank you, Attorney Sherman. Okay, sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
Sure, briefly. We are here... Again, on the issue of suitability, the issuing authority, Town of Reading, denied the permit based on multiple drug convictions, as well as DUI convictions from the last ones were in 2013, 2014. The application was denied 7 years after the last conviction and shortly after the appellant had moved into the state of Connecticut. It's our understanding the appellant had been on probation in the state of California where he was prohibited from possessing a firearm in that state, submitted no Connecticut based references with his application and was denied as a result of being lack of suitability.
Thank you. Attorney Sherman, would you like to make an opening statement?
Thank you. Just this is another case about whether people can change. And I'm willing to stipulate to the facts presented in the issuing authority questionnaire instead of going through this novel here of 150 pages about his record because I've been through it, and it's very confusing because we have records from several different sources that don't agree, such as the FBI record check that I did does not list all the same cases that apparently they're able to see, including erased cases. But I don't really care. I'm willing to stipulate to what is specified in the issuing authority questionnaire that he has misdemeanor drug convictions in California. The most recent of them is, as he has, as Attorney Stafford said, either 13 or 14. Otherwise, we could be bogged down here a long time.
Well, yeah, I just want to make clear, I don't want to be listening to erased records here. So if there's something that's been erased, it's really...
We're We're not aware that any of these records have been erased. These records are all from the state of California. I'm not aware that the state of Connecticut or any other state has issued a pardon or erasure on any of these records.
Okay.
I'm not making an issue of it.
I just didn't want to hear about it if it wasn't, if it, yeah.
You have a lot more stuff in your records than what, as a civilian, I was able to get from the FBI.
Yeah, well, I think between states, sometimes in that, like a state like Massachusetts, if an employer runs a record, they get a certain list. If the police run it, especially for firearms, they can get other things that are technically dismissed, but still available to law enforcement to use for civil matters like this. I don't know if that's true in California or not.
But I'm not concerned about it.
Yeah, I'm not aware of, I think there are several instances involved. There are two I would consider very significant instances. I'm happy to make a proffer of what those are and direct the panel to those particular police reports if they'd like, and just briefly summarize them if it's okay with council, if it's okay with the board. But our understanding is if folks look at the PDF that was labeled collect, inquiry response from DESP, you'll notice multiple instances or cycles dating back, I believe, as the applicant said in his application, to his first drug offense was in 2006. But the most significant of his convictions would be what's identified as cycle two, and I would direct folks to the police report from the town of Westminster, California.
What's the date of that, please?
The date of the Westminster report is November 2nd, 2013. That report indicates that the officer observed a male, later identified as the applicant here, sitting in the driver's seat. His eyes were closed, his head was slumped forward. Noticed that there were syringe needles sticking out of the applicant's right arm and a flattened spoon containing cotton on his lap. The officer attempted to wake the appellant by yelling and knocking on the window, but the appellant did not wake up. The officer feared that the appellant had overdosed and was in need of an emergency medical attention. The officer ended up having to break the driver's window to gain entry, and it was only then that the appellant was alerted to the officer's presence. He was arrested and charged with, as one might suspect, possession of heroin as well as methamphetamine, among other charges. I would then direct the panel to the police report from the town of Orange, which is from March of 2014, in which the officer there indicates that he noticed an occupied vehicle. He ended up having an interaction with the driver, who again was the appellant here. The appellant was charged with an outstanding warrant, presumably for failing to appear in court for the first offense. I would then direct the panel to the report from Newport Beach, which is dated April of 2014. That is a very lengthy report, so I won't go through the entirety of it in the interest of time, but essentially the appellant here was admitted to being in possession of a controlled substance, admitted he was addicted to heroin, was driving with a suspended license, and was charged, and as the collect report indicates, was later convicted of driving under the influence. Again, these convictions all occurred in the state of California. We're not aware that any of them have been erased, and in fact, the our understanding is the appellant moved from California to New York State and then eventually to Connecticut and applied for his permit in Connecticut shortly after relocating here. And this was the information available to the board at the time, or available to the issuing authority at the time, which, like I said, the latest conviction was a mere 7 years after the application was submitted.
Cross.
Well, am I cross-examining the attorney who's testifying?
Well, he did kind of just testify, so I don't know how else to handle
it. Well, he asked for proper proof. Yeah. I mean, that's the proffer. If you'd like me to put the witness, if you were trying to save time, I could certainly have.
I'll stipulate to the truth of what he just stated.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
But then I do have questions for somebody.
I think you're going to have that opportunity because there is a man over there. So yeah. Are you going to call?
So I'll call, the issuing authority calls Sergeant Michael Livingston.
Do you need a spelling or you have that, Nancy?
Got it, thank you.
All right, go ahead.
Sergeant Livingston, how long have you been with the Reading Police Department?
Since October 2012.
And what is your current title?
Sergeant.
Between 2013 and 2021, were you responsible for reviewing permit applications for the town of Reading?
I was.
And can you discuss your review of the appellant's application here?
Yep. So the way the process typically works is when someone believes that they have all their information gathered for their pistol permit, they'll contact the police department either by phone or email, go through the whole application and everything that we need, all the documents, make sure that they have everything and set up an appointment for them to come in. When they come in, we'll review all the documents that we need along with the application. If there's any questions within the application, like if there's arrests that are noted or anything like that, we'll typically go over and kind of have like a preliminary discussion about that. From there, we'll do fingerprinting. After they leave, I'll go through, we'll do, you know, all the criminal background checks using NCIC, Collect, and if there's reports that I find on the criminal history, I'll try to make contact with the police departments that are listed as the arresting agencies and go from there. And typically, if I have questions that I think the appellant or applicant can answer to, I'll give them a call or shoot them an email and see if there's things that we can discuss a little further so they have a little bit of better understanding for it as well.
And from your review of the records that you were able to collect as part of your inquiry into this application, is it your belief that I accurately summarized the appellant's criminal record, Rebecca?
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to add to what I stated?
Just like you said, you know, a lot of the arrests happen in a period in time in California there. At the time, he applied back in 2021. So the distance between the arrest versus when he was applying was around 7 years. And also, like you had also said, he was new to the area, new to our town. All we really had to go off of was criminal history and some of the back, you know, he had supplied letters of reference from family members and a coworker, so.
And were any of those letters of reference Connecticut residents?
Don't believe that they were.
Okay, Cross.
Thank you, Sergeant Livingston. There's no requirement that character residents be from Connecticut residents, right?
That's correct.
Okay. There's no minimum length of time that people have to live in the state to apply for a pistol permit, right?
That's correct.
Was it your decision to deny him?
No.
The convictions on his record, they're all misdemeanors, as stated in the issuing authority questionnaire, right?
I believe that's correct.
There's no felony convictions, right?
I believe that's correct.
And no negative police contact in Reading?
That's correct, we know.
Okay. And so nothing more recent as far as negative police contact than 2014?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Which at this point, round numbers would be 10 years.
Correct.
Did you recommend that his application be denied?
I did.
Would you do the same thing today as of now?
Would have to go back through and kind of see if anything's changed in that timeframe to see.
If nothing has changed, now that it's 10 years instead of 7 years.
I would still recommend a nod.
You would? Okay. All right. I have nothing further.
Questions by the board?
I'm sorry. One thing you said he had multiple DUI convictions?
I believe it's just one.
Okay, I think you said multiple DUI
convictions. I think it was multiple possession charges, one DUI conviction.
No, I understand what the record says. I just thought you said something. I thought I was missing something.
No. Okay. I'm mistaken.
Thank you.
Other questions by the board? Any other witnesses?
No further witnesses.
Okay, Attorney Sherman.
Thank you. So I'd like to call the appellant, please. And if you can already speak up, it's hard to hear in this room. Tell the board, please, how old are you?
I'm 42.
42. And single, married, children?
Married, and I have two kids, a four-year-old, one-year-old, and one on the way. So,
okay.
Almost three.
Going on three. And what do you do for work?
I own a company called Ultraviolet Air. We manufacture, design, install UVC lighting equipment for buildings like this one that are germicidal, kills airborne pathogens like viruses, bacteria, protozoa, that stuff.
Type of thing you often see in a hospital?
That exact thing.
Yeah. Okay. Is this a COVID-inspired business?
It was. Prior to COVID, I was a project manager in Manhattan. All my job sites got shut down, so this came out of that.
Okay. And you heard the testimony about you're having a record involving drug abuse and drug possession and an operating under the influence in California from 10 plus years ago. What was going on with you back then?
Yeah, regrettably it's all true, but in my mid-20s, I was due to some motocross accidents. I was prescribed some painkillers, and unfortunately I became really addicted to those, and in the subsequent years after that, dealt with the kind of stuff we're talking about here. Eventually those medications, those drugs were taken off of the market, and that turned into the street variety of those drugs, which is why I had all these negative encounters with the law at that time.
And I notice it's been 10 years since you've been in trouble. How come?
On August 1st of 2014, I got sober from drugs and alcohol, everything.
How did that occur?
It basically, I just got really sick of it. It was very depressing, and checked myself into a detox facility, spent about 2 weeks there. Then I went to a 90-day inpatient rehab program, and
where was this?
It was in Palm Desert, California.
So you were residing in California,
yes,
still at that time.
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you think motivated you to do that?
Motivated me to get sober.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an awful life when you're not. And I was getting in trouble with the law. I was depressed. I was just sick and tired of the direction my life was headed. That wasn't exactly the plan, when I started, so.
So am I correct in calculating based on what you said this year, August 1st, it'll be 10 years that you have been sober?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Does that include alcohol?
Everything, yep, alcohol.
So you haven't had a drink since August 1st of 2014?
No.
Or any other type of heroin, fentanyl, anything like that?
Nothing psychoactive.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. You ever have a craving or anything like that?
Not anymore.
Okay. And you heard some testimony about being on probation. You were on probation at one point.
Yes.
Was there a condition that during your probation you not have firearms?
I think that's a standard protocol in California, so,
And Do you think you'd be able to do the kind of work you're doing right now if you're still using heroin? And
no, absolutely not.
Why not?
That's completely debilitating. And
physically, mentally?
Physically, mentally, you're just not able to, like, you know, perform as a human, essentially.
I have nothing further.
Thank you. Cross?
Yeah. So before living in Connecticut, you lived in New York State for a period of time, correct?
In New York City, yes.
Did you apply for a pistol permit in New York?
No.
How long had you been living in Connecticut before you applied for a pistol permit?
Not very long. I didn't apply in New York City because it's basically pointless. So as soon as we bought our home in Reading, we lived in Stamford for a year, renting, and then as soon as I bought the house in Reading is when I applied for the permit, because I knew that would be my permanent residence in the state.
Why did you decide to apply in Connecticut?
I decided to apply because I wanted to exercise my Second Amendment rights like everyone else.
I guess I'm just trying to figure out why you waited until you moved into Connecticut as opposed to applying in New York.
Maybe if you could clarify your comment about it being pointless to apply in New York City.
Yeah, I think the city of New York has like 1,500 permits or something. They're essentially impossible to get, so that's why I wouldn't try. I also, you know, what am I going to do with a gun in New York City?
Did you have access to a firearm when you lived in California?
At any time?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you have a permit in California?
California doesn't, or at that time, didn't require a specific permit. You basically answered 10 questions and then you were eligible to buy one.
Did you purchase a firearm in California?
At one time, yes.
When was that?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. It was a long time ago.
Was it before?
I'm going to object. There's no relevance.
Sure there is.
There's no relevance to whether he's suitable or to his criminal record in California.
I think my follow-up question is going to be, did you purchase this firearm before or after you get sober?
Before.
Well, he answered.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to say anything.
Before I got sober, I bought the firearm before I started doing drugs of any kind. So it was before any of this took place.
Your attorney objected, so... Yeah. If he's objecting,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
He probably doesn't want you to answer. But
well, I don't think it's a ridiculous question. I think it goes directly to his thinking and whether he appreciates the severity of his actions and conduct in 2013 and 2014 vis-a-vis firearm ownership.
But he testified that he purchased it before he had the firearm.
When did you develop an addiction to heroin?
To heroin? Once they banned OxyContin.
And approximately when was that?
I don't remember. I don't have a timeline for all of this stuff.
Did you have a firearm? Did you own a firearm at the time you were addicted to heroin?
No. So it's a little confusing the way you're asking because it's all opiates. But if my memory serves me correctly, heroin was not in the picture at the time I had the firearm.
What happened to the firearm?
I sold it to a dealer.
A gun dealer, right?
Yeah, of course. An FFL. <Yeah. laughs> Not a heroin dealer.
Where were you acquiring the heroin from?
I don't know. Lots of places. I don't know. Mexico? I have no idea.
But on the streets, though?
As you would with heroin.
Did you ever have a gun in your possession when you went to purchase heroin?
Absolutely not.
To your knowledge, have the charges in California been erased, or have you been pardoned for those charges?
No.
No, they have not been pardoned, or no, not to your knowledge?
No, they haven't been pardoned, they haven't been erased. It's very expensive to do so, and other than what's going on right now, I haven't had a reason to pay thousands of dollars to take care of a couple of misdemeanors.
The charges in 2013 and 2014, how old were you at that time?
2013, I guess I would have been 31.
So not a kid?
No.
You were gainfully employed at the time?
I'm guessing not at that time. I don't remember exactly. I went through bouts of employment.
Weren't you working construction?
You're asking me about a specific time. I don't know. I did work construction during that time.
All right, I have nothing.
Does the board have questions for the appellant? Seeing none, other witness?
Yes, please. I'd like to call the appellant's wife's witness, seats, please. We can skip identifying her by name, correct?
Yes, you're his wife.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So how long have you known the appellant, please?
I've known him for about 8 years.
8 years, okay. So during the time you've known him, has he been totally sober?
Yes, sir.
Your knowledge?
Yes, absolutely.
I understand you've never given a drug test properly, but do you think you'd know if he were not?
Yep, pretty sure I would know.
How would you know?
I have only known this man as a sober, upstanding citizen. I have never seen him intoxicated. It would be very clear and very strange if he were behaving differently than stone cold sober, because it's the only way I've ever known him.
Okay. And you have two children together?
Right? Yes. Right.
If you thought he were using opiates, would you be having kids with him?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't have married him.
Okay. How do you feel about him getting his permit?
I feel good. It would make me feel safe and secure.
Okay. So you would feel safe if he had a permit, if he had a firearm?
Yes.
Okay. Safe for yourself personally?
Yes.
I'm gonna object at this point. I'm not sure what the relevance of this testimony is at all. She was not involved in any of the private instances. She was not a witness at the time, or a character witness for him at the time his application was submitted. She was not a reference before was not a reference that was submitted to the issuing authorities. I don't know what this line of questioning at this point leads to.
I'd be glad to address that objection. First of all, there's no legal requirement that references be provided. So what, as far as she wasn't a reference? Second, nobody knows him better. She lives with him. She's known him for how long?
8 years.
8 years. Character is always an issue in front of this board because it's a component of suitability. And she's testifying about his character. And that if his character were something less than what it is, she wouldn't have married him.
Wasn't the question whether she would feel safe, right, with him?
Okay.
I think it's relevant.
It's always relevant also Whether a person is likely to do something they shouldn't do with a firearm is always an issue for this board.
Anything else? All right, it's overruled. You can answer the question.
The question was, would you feel safe personally if he had a firearm in a permit?
Yes, he's an extremely responsible man and has overcome clearly a lot of adversity. And we have a beautiful family and a beautiful life, and I have no problem with it whatsoever.
Okay, thank you. I have nothing further.
Cross?
No.
Does the board have questions for the witness? Seeing none, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not, thank you.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes,
but before we do, could I ask the issue authority?
Yes.
How many drug convictions does he have? I mean, Attorney Sherman made a point that it was difficult to.
I have, and
it truly is.
I have my interpretation of what the record shows.
So I think what. I guess I would start with the applicant's statement on his application was that he was charged with. And pled guilty to disorderly conduct in 2006. There was a possession with a syringe and vehicle theft that apparently was dismissed.
Dismissed.
Possibly on some sort of program grounds in 2011, as best we can tell. There was a possession charge in 2013 that was dismissed. And then there were the instances, the more recent instances were the ones I went in detail with at the beginning. The possession of controlled substance and paraphernalia from 2013, where the officer had to break the window to resuscitate him. And then there was the driving under the influence. He did have a suspended license at that time that he pled guilty to, and also possession as of April of 2014.
And possession of what?
My understanding, if we look at the 20, I guess I would direct to the 2013.
I guess I would let me cut the chase.
I have it right here. Controlled substance, paraphernalia, narcotic, controlled substance.
My question is, and I know what Attorney Sherman would say, is are any of those, if they had been a Connecticut conviction, would it have been a statutory disqualifier? Like marijuana wouldn't be. Heroin maybe. I'm not exactly sure, but it's your case. So and not that that's going to matter either. Anyway.
I'll let I know the sergeant has looked into this.
Okay. Yeah, so
I'm going to object to the question because this board has been told by the Connecticut Supreme Court.
I understand that we can't call it a statutory disqualifier. However, it can be used towards suitability. That's what I would like to
understand. And I want to be clear that we were certainly not arguing that just because he had these, he was automatically disqualified.
Clearly, you didn't even say that. Possession of narcotics, some people say that, and that could be possession of a joint, even though it's not narcotics.
But this would still be too old.
That's 20 years, right?
We need to be careful. We're talking about the decision of the issuing authority at that time the application was submitted. So we need to go back to 2021.
Yeah, right? We also have to look at it today, too. I mean, because we are here today.
I understand, but if this would have been a statutory disqualifier in 2021, I think that is particularly relevant. And go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the convictions from 2013, I believe the original arrest was for possession of a controlled substance, which was either, I believe it was the heroin or the meth.
Well, I believe you got to be more
specific. No, he had both.
You need to know.
The arrest report.
He was charged with a felony. He was not convicted of the felony.
That's what I was going to say, yes. Mm-hmm. It was originally a felony, and the court dropped it down to a misdemeanor in California. That's also, I believe, where the probation was put in place, where the firearm, he couldn't possess firearms during that time period. Yes.
I would direct you to the Westminster Police Department report. The statement in the narrative there from the officer is, a probable cause search of the vehicle revealed a container on the driver's floorboard that contained a dark rock-like substance. Through my training and expertise, I recognize the substance to be heroin. The search also revealed a container with a white crystalline substance on the rear passenger floorboard. Through my training and experience, I recognize the substance to be methamphetamine. I think that would be the best evidence of.
And as we sit here today, or even at the time of denial, there were no statutory disqualifiers. Is that correct?
There were no Connecticut statutory disqualifiers.
Well, that's the one.
Because all of his conduct occurred outside of the state.
But also, these are too old because in Connecticut, after 7 years, the misdemeanors are not mandatory anymore.
All right, thanks.
Where were we?
So where we were is, any questions from the board for my second witness, I believe?
We didn't do closings?
Oh, no, actually, that's right. We're about to do closing, and you said that's right.
You had a question.
And I, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Did you finish? Did you finish your closing?
I don't think I started my closing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, I'm sure everyone knows what I want to say. This is a pretty seriously long period of time. This isn't somebody who had any sort of a violent past. He had a serious addiction problem, like a lot of people. I have
someone who's fairly close to me, who, same thing, prescribed these painkillers, and holy smokes, with some people it just takes off. But it's been 10 years. It's going to be 10 years this August. This lady wouldn't be raising a family with him if he was still doing that stuff. He wouldn't be successful in his business if he was still doing that stuff. And let's face it, look at how many times he did have negative contact with the law in California during a substantial period of time, and now it's 10 years, there's been nothing. I think it speaks for itself, there's been nothing. Nothing in Connecticut, certainly, and there was nothing in New York, obviously, otherwise we would have heard about it from the issuing authority. Again, it all comes down to, can people change? And here, this change is very straightforward. He went to rehab, he's not using these substances anymore, he's using nothing, not even alcohol. So he should have his permit. Thank you.
Thank you. Closing statement?
Yeah, so look, the town and the issuing authority are not unsympathetic to the appellant's argument. We're frankly appreciative that he is a taxpaying citizen in town and seems to be on the right track to raising a family in the town. I think the question for this board, though, goes beyond that. The question for this board goes, is he a suitable person? And certainly, was he a suitable person in 2021 when he applied for a firearm permit? Not that he's not a good person, but he has not applied for erasure or pardon of his charges in California. Those charges in Connecticut could have been, might have been disqualifiers had he lived in Connecticut at the time. And we just feel that not a sufficient period of time has gone by. There may be a period in time in which he can reapply to the town, and the town would deem him suitable. But certainly 7 years, given the multiple instances, given the severity of the drugs involved, given the fact he admitted that he did have access to a firearm, at least during part of his time in California, gives us great pause in issuing a permit at this time.
Thank you. Comments by the board?
I'm personally impressed by his candor, his demeanor. Also, there are excellent references in the file that we received from people that know him. Believe me, I'm usually very down on hard drug possession, but it seems that in this particular case, that is in the distant past. And often we have said ourselves on this board, when people have similar situations, it's like, let some more time pass and let's see that these people are cleaned for an extended period. In my opinion, I think he's met the threshold.
Thank you. Other comments?
I would just say that I agree with that, although I'm not as impressed with the letters of reference because they are all very similar and seem to be written by the same person, at least at some level. But. Mm-hmm.
All right. Seeing that there's no other comments, Chief Rosenzweig.
Appellant.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Appellant.
Chair votes appellant.
Thank you
all.
Thank you.